Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan. I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're continuing in our longer conversation about the practice of Sabbath. We're going to focus in on what worship looks like in Sabbath, reflecting on Psalm 92. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to read through Psalm 92, either before this or sometime around listening to this podcast this morning. Psalm 92 is an incredible message that captures the essence of Sabbath rest in a way that I think is both refreshing and spiritually enriching. The psalm opens with this invitation to give thanks, celebrating God's goodness. It portrays Sabbath rest, not just as a day off, which really is a massive misconception about Sabbath. But it talks about it as a joyful and intentional pause to connect with God and appreciate His wonders. The psalmist emphasizes the importance of praising God as a way to rest our minds and bodies. This isn't just about physical rest. It's about spiritual recharge, allowing us to step back and reflect on our lives and our relationship with the Creator. You know, we've talked a lot about this in the series so far, but focusing in on Sabbath is, I think, a very foreign practice for most of us. We don't have this built into our cultural rhythms really at all. In fact, if we've thought much about the Sabbath as followers of Jesus, generally it has been informed most by Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees in the New Testament. And the thing about that is largely it's kind of negative, right? Like Jesus is critiquing their misapplication of the Sabbath, right? And so when all we ever hear him do is like critique how they're practicing the Sabbath, it's really easy to walk away with the impression that he's not overly fond of it in general. But that's not the idea at all. We got to remember that the Pharisees had a very specific intention, a very specific thing that they were trying to do or not do on the Sabbath. And Jesus' real message is that you have missed the point of what the Sabbath is. It's not a burden to be laid on anyone. It's actually a gift, right? He says it this way in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, when we talk about worship on the Sabbath, and at LifePoint Worthington, we said it this way, Sabbath is a time for rest and worship. When we talk about worship, we mean something very, very broad, right? What I don't mean is that on Sabbath, you only have to listen to Christian music. Not at all. That's not at all what we mean. Or you only have to listen to even more narrowly, like worship music, which is kind of an odd phrase that only makes sense in our cultural moment right now. No, by worship, what we mean is encountering those opportunities to be in awe of God, right? It's very, very broad. And you actually see, you know, on one level, we see Job's response to all of the suffering and grief that he encounters very early on in the book of Job, right? It says he bows down and he worships, right? And this is his response, not just like an overjoy at what's happening, but a response of awe before God. And I think that really captures what worship is. What are those things that allow you to be in awe of God? Sabbath is the opportunity for us to intentionally pursue those things. It might be for you being out in nature. For my wife, anytime she's around like a large body of water, like something that illustrates how small she is and how large the Creator is, something that's very powerful. It moves her to worship. And all of us have things that we will connect with in different ways. Right? So for you, it might be music. That's fine. That's not for everybody. It might be being out in nature. It might be sitting and reading certain authors that kind of bring you to a deeper appreciation of who God is and what it means to follow Jesus and the beauty of what the gospel truly is. All of these things are an opportunity for us to worship. I'd even say for parents, right? There is a way to think about worship as enjoying the good gifts that God has given to you. And that means that we step in to worship by enjoying the kids that God has entrusted to us. It might mean if you don't have kids right now, or maybe you're not married, or whatever season of life you're in, looking for ways to find the good gifts that God has entrusted to you out of His goodness. And enjoying them, right? This is you recognizing that God is so much bigger. He is so kind. He has provided something for your enjoyment, right? And so on Sabbath, a way to worship may be go out and grab a coffee with a friend, enjoying the good gift of friendship. For our family, we always start Sabbath with the nicest meal of the week, right? And we're going all out, not because we want to be overindulgent, but because we want to pause and say, God, we want to thank you for the good gifts of food, friendship, and fellowship. And oftentimes we'll have people gather around our table and open up our home on that night because we want to enjoy what God has given us. This is what Sabbath worship looks like. Psalm 92 is a fantastic way to kind of nurture and cultivate your deeper desire for worship on Sabbath and as you practice this. Now, let me encourage you with this as one takeaway. We don't just want to think about the Sabbath. We don't just want to talk about it one time and kind of move on. I'll say this, you might have felt this tension as we've talked about Sabbath this week. And I think it's particularly true with this practice more than the other ones. You may not be in a moment in time where you really feel a need for practicing Sabbath. I can tell you, before I went through a long season of burnout and I would look back and say depression. Someone gave me a book about Sabbath, like right before I was going into this season, not knowing what was ahead of me. So I looked at the book. It's about Sabbath. I realized I am way too busy for this thing right now. I don't have time to read another book. I jumped to the last chapter that I thought would have some application. I tried doing some of the things that he said, and of course, it didn't work. My point is that it did not hit me that I needed this in that season of life. And you might find yourself there right now. It's like, well, actually, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I don't know if I need to upend my rhythms or add something else or eliminate something. But the moment in time comes, because the very nature of the way that God has created the universe to function, how He's created us to function, is that we need rest. And we will be brought to that need, whether or not we recognize it, whether or not we're willing to jump right in. So I'm going to challenge you with this as a Sabbath practice. I'm assuming right now that you may not have a full 24-hour day. The length of time, that's not the point of this conversation, but I want to challenge you. For this next month, look out on your calendar and pick at least two evenings. Pick at least two evenings. Now, you may do more than that. You may do 4 days, right? 1 day a week. But if you're not there right now, pick two evenings and say, either for myself or my family, we're going to set aside this evening as a sacred moment in time for us to practice rest and worship. And lean into that moment. Lean into that moment. Make it a nice dinner where you guys sit together and eat, enjoying conversation, right? If you're health conscious right now, calories don't count on Sabbath, okay? That's a sin. Calories don't count on Sabbath. Enjoy the meal. Enjoy the good gift of family or friendship or fellowship. Enjoy this around the table. Maybe start by reading Psalm 92 together as you begin this time. And enter into that moment, acknowledging the God who offers and provides rest for your soul. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.